Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. You know, that's a great hymn on Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. When I was putting together the worship folder on Monday, I was fully expecting to preach on the gospel lesson from John chapter 1. Because Advent and John the Baptist, I mean, they just go together so well. And we really haven't touched on John that much. But during Bible class on Wednesday, I started focusing on that epistle lesson and St. Paul's admonition to us to rejoice. And by that time, the worship folder had already been printed, and it was too late to change the sermon hymn. So our text is from Philippians chapter 4, and especially verse 4, where St. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." This is our text. So imagine for a moment that you are in an argument with your spouse. And it's a fairly heated argument about something fairly important. At least your spouse thinks it's important. The argument goes on for 10 minutes, then 20. It's getting close to 30 minutes, and you are on the receiving end of a good lashing. Not knowing what else to say after listening to your spouse paint a picture of how terrible you acted, you finally speak up and tell your spouse, "Relax." How do you think that's going to go over? I mean, you can apologize. You can say that you're sorry till you're blue in the face. You can look at the floor and say absolutely nothing. But telling your spouse to relax in the middle of an argument, that's going to get you in much, much more trouble. Today, as Pastor Ganey said, is the fourth Sunday in Advent. We are 3 days away from celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're looking at our epistle lesson for today, and St. Paul tells us not to relax, but to rejoice. And given the situation, I'd say it's almost the same thing. In fact, he doesn't tell us to rejoice just once. He tells us to rejoice twice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. It's 3 days before Christmas. I wonder how many of you are rejoicing right about now. Have you got all your Christmas shopping done yet? Are all your presents wrapped and under the tree yet? Is your house clean? I know mine isn't. Do you have the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day meals all planned out and the groceries bought? I don't know about you, but this last week I had to go out and buy 2 new Christmas trees because our pugs had eaten the lights off the bottom of our trees, and so fully 1/3 of our tree was not lit. And the second time, I had to go up to West Dallas to buy the tree because our Home Depot here in Racine was out of trees. So, with all the planning of our worship services, with the writing of the sermons, I haven't had any time to rejoice. And yet that's what St. Paul is telling us to do. 3 days before the biggest holiday of the year, and St. Paul is telling us to rejoice. It's kind of like telling your spouse to relax while you're in the middle of an argument. So how can we rejoice when we've got so much to do? I know so many people who are sick, and some of them very seriously. Like we said, you know, Ken Fick is getting transferred up to St. Luke's, and Janice Berdeman's having surgery almost as we speak. So how can we tell them to rejoice? And with all the present buying and the gift giving, our bank accounts are running low. How can we rejoice until we've got all those bills paid off? My wife had over 30 dozen cookies to make this month. She spent two nights up all night decorating cookies. How can I tell her to rejoice? Our country is being torn apart by our elected officials in Washington, and confidence in those elected officials are at an all-time low. So how are we supposed to rejoice? Well, St. Paul answers that question really in three short words. He says, rejoice in the Lord. And St. Paul is right. Without our Lord, there's no way we can rejoice. But with our Lord, we can rejoice in even the worst of circumstances. St. Paul's words to us are not just a suggestion. It's not like we've gone to St. Paul for some counseling and he says, well, you know, one of the things that I've tried to suggest to my clients with some success is that I've suggested that they try to rejoice. No, St. Paul's words to rejoice are commands, they're imperatives. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Which brings us to another thing. When are we supposed to rejoice? Well, he's very clear. Rejoice in the Lord always. Really? You know, I've recently started going back to the gym again to get some exercise, which means getting up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, putting on a pair of shorts and tennis shoes and a shirt and driving to the gym and hopping on a treadmill for about 30 minutes a day. Do you think I'm rejoicing during that workout? I mean, how are you supposed to rejoice at 6 a.m. on a treadmill? And yet St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And still I have to ask myself, why should I rejoice 3 days before Christmas? Well, St. Paul tells us that in the very next verse. He says, the Lord is at hand. You see, our God is not a God who is far off. Our God is a God who is at hand. He is here in the word that is proclaimed. He is here in baptism. He is here in the Lord's Supper that we're going to receive in a few minutes. Our Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, and they called him Emmanuel, God with us, because that is who he is. So our God is a God who is at hand. He is near us. And for that, we can and do rejoice always. And because we are in the Lord, because our Lord is at hand, St. Paul gives us the next command when he says, do not be anxious about anything. Really? 3 days before Christmas, and we're not supposed to be anxious about anything? I don't think St. Paul's read the newspaper lately or heard the morning news, because if he had, he would realize that there's a lot to rejoice about. Be anxious about. But let me ask you this. Does being anxious do anything to resolve the problem or make it go away? Will worrying about something do anything to solve the situation? Obviously, the answer is no. What will help? What will solve the problem? Well, again, St. Paul tells us that in our text. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. who can solve our problems? God can. So go to Him and ask Him in prayer for what you need. You know, in Bible class on Wednesday, I asked the class, what does supplication mean? And when I did, the whole room went silent. They had no idea what supplication meant. Supplication is asking for things. And so really, in this one verse, St. Paul tells us to ask for things, not once, but twice. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, that's the first ask, with thanksgiving, let your requests, that's the second ask, be made known to God. Asking God for help with your problems is the best way to solve your problems. God has the power to solve any problem on the face of the earth. After all, He's God. That's what He's all about. He solved the problem of our sin by sending His Son down to the earth. And if He can solve that problem, He can certainly solve all the other problems in the world as well. And so the result of going to God in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God will grant you peace rather than anxiety, which is a totally awesome reason to rejoice, which brings us all the way back to the beginning of our sermon. To be sure, we only have 3 days before Christmas, and there are lots and lots of things to do. But because Christmas is coming, because the Lord is at hand, because we are celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the Emmanuel, God with us, we have so many reasons to rejoice and be at peace with God. In Jesus' name, amen.